Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." Some translations say masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, like the disciples, everything you have gone through up until this point has been for a reason. There are some of you, you've been through some things, you've been through some hurts, and you've also experienced some turmoil, but the reason is God is preparing you for your destiny. Acts 17, 26 and 27 says, "From one man he created all men, and he marked their time in history and gave them a boundary line so that they might seek him, though he's not far from them." What does that mean? That means that God intended for you to live in this day and in this hour, and there was a boundary line and a purpose for why you are here right now. God didn't call you just to have a good job and make a lot of money, build a good family, and provide. That's great and dandy. I applaud that. I want you to be a responsible believer. Don't be one of them spiritually, you know, heavenward people that you're no earthly good. Because sometimes we hide behind spirituality as a crutch. You can be spiritual. You can love God, but be lazy. You can be spiritual and know all the verses in the Bible, but because we don't understand practicality, we don't understand discipline, we don't understand hard work, and then we struggle and wonder, well, why am I struggling? Listen, God didn't call you to struggle. God didn't call you to struggle financially. He didn't cause you to struggle with all your emotions. God has called you with intent. You are his masterpiece. I feel like I got to say that because sometimes, like, you got some believers that they have faith, they believe God will do it, but they don't have active faith, which requires work, which requires initiative so that God can do something. You can believe all day long for that job, but unless you're actually looking for the job, come on somebody, by faith putting on that resume. I know you don't qualify, it's okay, don't worry about it. You serve a God that will qualify you. God doesn't look for the qualified, he qualifies the called. So understand this, you may not have what the world wants you to have, but you serve a God that is able to give you practicality. And I feel like that's something that the church really needs to work on. This is why we're always working on elevating our church service or even our buildings, because we want to show excellence in the church. And there are some of you, the reality is, unless you take your place in the local church, we will never fulfill our full potential because you are part of the equation. We're looking for the administrators in the church. Don't judge us. Jump in with us. Help us. Draw up a map. Take initiative. Start doing what you know you're supposed to do. Get involved and utilize your gifts, your talents for God's honor and God's glory. Are you with me this morning? Like the disciples, understand everything you have gone through has a purpose. Everything you had experienced up until this point was meant to prepare you for who you were supposed to be and what you were supposed to do. So here we have the disciples. Jesus is preparing them to step into their destiny. And God tells them something very interesting. He tells them, "I am the vine and the Father is the gardener." He goes on after that to say something very interesting. He says, "My Father cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." Now this is deep. Because here Jesus uses a metaphor and a mental picture to describe himself as the vine, God's people as the branches, and the Father as a gardener who cares for the branches. Now the Bible tells us that the Father plays a very specific role, and he does two very specific things. Number one, the Bible says he cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. Now follow me for a second. What does it mean? What does that mean? What does it mean to bear fruit? I used to ask myself, because I read this and I was like, what does that mean, bear fruit? Well, the fruit of our life speaks of our actions and the result they produce. Luke 6, 42 and 43 says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, but every tree is known by its fruit. See, our actions, good or bad, will produce some sort of result. And the result of that action will bear fruit within your life. See, as godly people, we are supposed to bear good fruit. If we bear bad fruit, it's not saying that God will cut you off or get rid of you all in all. However, God's love is faithful and so strong that he will confront the areas in your life that are no longer producing. This is why some of you that have been around for a long time, you come to church and you feel this tension in the spirit and in your heart because God is dealing with you. You already know enough, and there are certain areas where you stopped growing, and God is saying, I need you to get back up. I need you to deal with. I need you to be faithful. I need you to show up. I say often that it's one thing. People tell me all day, Pastor, I'm available. Pastor, if you need my help, I'm available. But there is a difference between being available and being visible. We don't need you to show up just when it's your duty. If you're a children's teacher, we don't need you just showing up when it's time for you to teach. When you're an usher, we just don't need you to show up when it's time for you to usher. One of the things that I will not have is, let's say we have somebody preach and then they don't show up next week. You got to be consistent. You got to be faithful. And you got to allow God to stretch those areas in your life so that you can be fruitful. The world is unfaithful. The world is uncommitted. But let that not be said of Victory Outreach Tacoma. Yes, we need committed believers so that we can advance the kingdom of God. I'm not afraid to tell you that yes, we will ask you to commit at some point. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you got to die to yourself, pick up your cross, and then follow. But sometimes we lose sight of that and we're afraid and we tiptoe around people's feelings. But listen, God saved you. He put gifts inside of you. He gave you your joy back. It should only be in your heart to want to give that to somebody else so they can experience the fulfillment and freedom you've already have. Are you with me this morning? See, God doesn't just cut us off. I used to read this and I was like, wow, because if we're the branches and if the Bible says that he cuts off every branch that doesn't bear fruit, I used to think, man, God will just get rid of us. The only problem with that is that sometimes we'll develop an attitude, then why even try? Who's with me? Now, I want to encourage you, God doesn't just cut you off. Let me bring some clarity. God doesn't cut you off. God doesn't separate you from the fold. Your sin separates you from the fold. People walk into the church and they feel like outsiders and they don't feel connected. It's not us, it's sin. Because when you're not in sin, and listen, we all sin, so let me just get that straight. We're not perfect. I sin, you sin, we all sin. Hey, everybody, come on, somebody. I sin. I was about to say, yeah, I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream. That was the melody I was going with. The key is this, though. There is a different freedom that you can walk in if you learn to be a repented sinner. We're all sinners saved by grace. There is nothing we can do. Listen, it's not about works. It's not about actions. It's not about trying to do things in order to gain status in heaven. That's not what this is about. But it's about living a repented life where we love God so much that we literally feel bad when we do something we know he doesn't like. Married couples, you understand this. Sometimes as husbands, we can be insensitive and sometimes say things we didn't mean and then later on feel bad. That is the same relationship. Or even if you're a parent, or even if you've been in any type of a friendship, who's ever said something that they wish they could take back but couldn't? Right? In your heart, you're like, ooh, I shouldn't have said that, but I got to roll with it because I already said it. Come on, somebody. Right? Right? I'm one of those people. Well, we went there. Let's go there. Huh? Hear me now. But let's not be like that with God. Let's learn to be repented Christians. If you think of a good gardener, if a gardener sees a heavy branch sagging to the ground, vulnerable to the elements, and even covered with mud, what would that gardener do? He would lift the branch, brace it, take off the fruit, wash it, and see if it could be repaired. See, God, in the same way, when he sees a branch that it's on his way to die, or when it's been exposed to some things that he doesn't approve, like a good gardener, he is loving, careful, and willing to wash us and make us clean as long as we want to be clean. See, there are some we don't want to be clean. Now, we say we want to be clean, but our actions say something totally different. Come on now, are you with me? You got to want to be clean. There's a story, I think, in John chapter 5 of a guy that Jesus was walking. He was healing everybody, and the Bible tells us he was an invalid, and he was crippled for 38 years. But the Bible says something very specific. He says, as Jesus noticed, or when he heard that he had been an invalid for 38 years, he walked up to him. He didn't heal him right away. He asked him a question. He said, do you want to get well? And he came back with an excuse. Well, no one will help me. I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you wanted to get well. And this morning, some of you, I need to ask you spiritually, do you want to get well? Because if you're sick and you got a fever, you can't go play in the rain. You'll get pneumonia, you get even worse. Come on, somebody. If you have a broken leg, come on, somebody. You can't just run and do the things you're used to. You got to slow down. We serve a loving God. The second thing that the Bible says that the gardener does, he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit so it will bear even more fruit. Now, the fruitful branch symbolizes true believers who walk in God's ways and produce spiritual fruit. When we walk in God's ways, the Bible tells us we will produce a fruit of the Spirit. Now, what are fruits of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22-23 tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when you are producing fruit as a believer, that means you're walking in joy. That means you live in peace. That means you understand long-suffering. That means that you're gentle. That's good fruit. Now, we got to be careful that we don't allow all the bad fruit to outweigh the good fruit. I'm not saying you got to be perfect, because it's hard to balance all of those. I got to tell you, I got issues. Come on, somebody. I yell sometimes. Hello. I got anger issues. Hello. Oh, now all of a sudden, oh, no anger. Amen. We all got prejudices. Prejudice isn't about color. Prejudice is a preconceived idea of what you think. We all got people that irritate us. And if we're not careful and we're not praying and we're not peaceful and we're not willing to live according to the Spirit, we'll be judgmental. This is why for some of you, you can't not pray. You can't not read the Bible, because naturally you're negative, or naturally you're judgmental. People who have the gift of discernment, if they're not spiritual, become judgmental. Now, what is discernment? It's the ability to understand what is going on spiritually. But if you understand and you can see things within people and you're not spiritual, you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible, and you can't identify with spiritual things, what you will do is call out, oh, he got issues. Oh, she got anger problems. Oh, he's prideful. He's pretentious. He's ambitious. But when you're in the spirit, you can look at that ambition and say, yeah, he's ambition, but if I can teach him the right way, if I can teach him not to do things for the crowd and to do it before Jesus, we can take that young man, we can train him up, he can be a powerful man of God. If we can take that young lady who always seems to be talking to all the gentlemen, if we can teach her her value, if we can teach her that God loves her, she can come and reach other people that struggle with discouragement, that struggle with loneliness. We got to be tapped into the vine. Are you with me this morning? Are you getting something? For some of us, understand this, we won't grow unless we allow God to prune us. Now, what does it mean to be pruned? What is pruning? It is a practice that involves cutting away dead or overgrown branches or stems, especially with the intention of increasing fruitfulness or growth. Now, there are two things we can take from the practice of pruning. Number one, God will sometime prune the areas in our life that need or prevent us from growing. And I believe everybody that's here, you have a desire to grow and know God. Just wave at me. I believe that. I believe every single one of you, you came here this morning because you desire God. And I believe that as we pursue God, God will begin to expose areas in our life that need pruning. Why? Because the presence of God exposes the areas in our life that keep us from progressing. God wants us to grow. There are some of you, you are here this morning, and God has been drawing you closer. He is pruning certain areas of your life. He might be cutting back that area of pride in your heart. Maybe he's dealing with independence. I mean, today you got a whole lot of independent Christians. I don't need the body. I can do it on my own. Yes, you need the body. Because the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all were created different and have different functions, different giftings, but we're called to coexist. We are called to work together. But you got a lot of independent Christians that don't want to work with people. Maybe this morning he's dealing with your disobedience. Maybe there's something you're supposed to do, but you're just being stubborn. Just wave at me if you have stubbornness. I got stubbornness. I got it. Stubbornness is a good thing if you can harness it and use it for the Lord. I like working with stubborn people. Well, actually, sometimes. Because I'm pretty stubborn. But I really look at stubborn people and I'm like, man, if we can just get them to get on track, those are the people that won't quit. They may have issues, they might be dealing with some stuff, but they're gonna fight. I like keeping those people close to me, even if they're not doing well. Why? Because I know if they can just catch it. I was stubborn. I had issues. I didn't catch it right away. But one thing that somebody seen was that I was stubborn. And they said, if I can get that young man to focus his attention on the purposes of God, God will use his life. I've been serving the Lord going on 18 years. Now, I'm not saying that to boast. What I'm saying is I have not quit. There were plenty of times I should have thrown in the towel. I could have thrown in the towel. But I understand one thing, that at the end of the day, I'm going to stand before my Creator. And what am I going to tell him? I quit. Because I will be judged based off of what I know. And if he called me to do a work, and I say no, that's a judgment I will one day face. God may be dealing with areas in your life to stop smoking, drinking, or even giving up secret sin. Nonetheless, God is pruning certain areas of your life so that you can grow. Secondly, the second thing we can get, and I'll be closing here, give me a few more minutes. God desires that we continue growing. 1 Timothy 4:15 says, practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. See, both of these scriptures promote growth and advancement. Once we have been walking with God for some time, you're going to have to mature. What does it say? We got to do away with the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. We got to get out of the shallow waters of Christianity and jump into the deep where God now is in control. Are you with me? When we come to Christ, He accepts us how we are. But He loves us too much to allow us to stay the same. So again, I want to remind you of the setting. Remember, Jesus is saying all this to prepare His disciples for what they were about to go through. Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross for the forgiveness of sin, and the disciples would soon be left all alone to lead God's people and guide His church. So in preparation, Jesus tells them, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's three things He does here with the disciples. He gives them instruction, a promise, and then a fact. The instruction was, remain in me. Remain means to continue, to endure, or to persist. Remaining in Christ means we stay connected to the vine, constantly cultivating our relationship with Him through prayer, reading of the Word, and building godly relationships. Remaining in Christ means we are connected and we don't give up. It means believing and trusting even when the favor isn't, or the outcome doesn't look favorable. Remaining in Him is even when you've taken all that you can bear. And you don't like the situation. You don't even like the people around you. Come on, somebody. It's staying true to the Lord. So He tells them, the instruction is, remain in me. But listen to the promise. He said, if you remain in me and I will in you, you will bear much fruit. That's the promise. God promised His disciples, if you remain in me, you will be fruitful. In other words, if we remain in Him, we are guaranteed fruitfulness, which is symbolic to growth, advancement, and effectiveness. Listen to me. When we are connected to the vine, we are guaranteed success. 2 Peter 1:8 says this, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire to know God, love God, and the energy to serve Him will come from abiding and remaining true to Almighty God. This is why some people, they don't want to serve anymore. Listen to me. The strength of serving the Lord comes from remaining in Him. It comes from abiding. Now, what does it mean to abide? It's to accept or act in accordance with. To abide means to continue without fading or being lost. And I feel like this needs to be said because there are some Christians, you started strong. And I think it was the Apostle Paul that said, who robbed you of your faith? Who robbed you of your joy? Abiding means we remain and we don't fade. Christianity isn't a sprint. It's about longevity. It's about running a marathon. It's about enduring and pacing yourself. Now, I understand you might not be able to say yes to every task. I get that. Just be honest, be truthful with me and with yourself and to God. If you can't, you can't. But if God is urging your heart, to not act on what you know you should do is disobedience. Understand this, church. The key to longevity, the key to enduring during tough times, the key to successful ministry is abiding in Almighty God. Jesus wanted us to know that even though He is not with us, even though we cannot see Him physically, we are as closely connected to Him as a branch of a vine is connected to a stem. And the last thing He tells them, the fact was this. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what he's saying here is that apart from me, you will not be productive. You cannot accomplish anything. You know, when you think of a branch, if a branch is disconnected from the stem, it will eventually wither away and die. And in the same way, we as believers, if we are not connected to the vine, at some point we will wither away and die spiritually. Listen to me, church. We won't be productive or effective unless we're connected. Just let me ask you this. I really close with this. Have you ever felt unproductive? Just wave at me. You know, when I feel like I'm spinning my wheels or I'm in constant struggle, maturity and history has taught me that I have somehow disconnected myself from the vine. When I'm unproductive, when I'm ineffective, I realize that I somehow have grown distant from the vine. And there are some of you, you're here this afternoon and you're extremely frustrated with life. You are unsure of where you're headed and you're trying to find life's meaning. I came here to tell you, don't look any farther. All you have to do is connect to the vine and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and God will make you productive again. We were not intended to just live aimlessly. God's intention for us, His people, was that we be fruitful and productive. As a matter of fact, being fruitful and productive is one of the marks of a disciple. True story. The mark of a true disciple, the third mark of a true disciple, is being fruitful. John 15, 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. See, I got good news this morning. Fruitfulness, productivity, and effectiveness come from when you're connected to the vine. If you're in school this morning, your success will come from being connected to the vine. You still got to work hard. You still got to open the books. But He'll give you the strength, understanding, and bring to remembrance the things you put into practice. If you're a business owner this morning, if you desire to be a business owner, come on somebody, is there anybody that desires to work for themselves one day? Keep God first. Stay connected to the vine. And God will make you fruitful. Stand with me this morning. If we abide in Almighty God, we will experience the fullness and fulfillment of life. Every head bowed and every eye closed.